Good morning. This is Pastor Irvin speaking, or very well could be afternoon or evening. Nevertheless, greetings and God's blessings upon you. This is the first Sunday of February, the service for that day, and we use a topic which in many people's minds is unclear, the meaning of the communion of saints. We hope that you find some message of inspiration and strength and guidance. We also pray that you have been blessed these past days and weeks with the presence of God and hopefully with the presence of friends and loved ones, at least from time to time. The well-known prognosticator, the groundhog, apparently did not see his shadow, and though that quaint legend probably has no basis in fact, we nevertheless hope that winter is 6 weeks shorter. Be that as it may, we pray that the Lord is with you, and it is our hope that He will be real good to you and give you those things which you need to live fruitfully and abundantly the life He has given you. Perhaps this week you can take time to write a letter to a friend, to phone someone who may be lonely, or whatever you can do to serve someone else. God bless you. My dear friends, I'm sorry to report that we did not turn the tape recorders on during our regular service of worship. And I regret very much that you will not have the music, the hymns, the children's time. However, we will be reading the scripture, having the prayer and the sermon. From the third chapter of Ephesians, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, who we turn to you in moments of prayer and supplication, asking for a renewed sense of your glory and greatness to enter our spirits. Help us to understand that we are your children and that we need to acknowledge your majesty and your love. We admit that you are the Lord. You created us and gave us life. And so we praise you and in humility ask that your grace will be with us. We know that you have power to bring comfort to our distressed spirits, light to our inquiring minds, peace to our distraught souls, and direction to our purposeless life. We know that you have the mercy to love us even when we are unlovable, to accept us even when we are unacceptable, to forgive us when we are beyond forgiveness, to help us when we are helpless, to reach us when we seek to go and to get beyond your reach, and to save us even when we enjoy our lostness a great deal. Grant us the faith in Christ, which not only encompass us today, but reaches into tomorrow. May we know that the future need not threaten us because we are in your care. It may bring us pain, it may cause us to be uncomfortable, but knowing Jesus Christ, we can be assured that strength and courage will be our lot. We affirm our confidence in your ways. We thank you for the guidance and direction we received in the past. I ask your forgiveness for not heeding your guidance. We thank you for those who have enriched our lives and ask your forgiveness in overlooking them. We thank you for the material blessings which have crowned our days, and we ask you to forgive our greedy and grasping ways. We thank you for letting Jesus Christ reveal your love and pray that you will forgive our rejection of him and our partial acceptance of his grace. Now, Lord, take us under your arms and teach us of the abundant life. Take us into your heart and teach us to love. Take us into your presence and show us how to serve. Take us into your concern and show us what it means to be compassionate. Take us, body and soul, and make us wholly yours. Look now with mercy upon those people and events which are hurting, for those who need the gospel and all it can mean to them, we pray. For those happenings which seem to threaten your way in our lives and in the world, we pray. Cast a strong arm of your love around us all and bring us the fulfillment found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear our prayer, we pray. In the name of him who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Way back in the 4th century, when the early church completed its statement of faith, the little creed, which we call the Apostles' Creed, it affirmed a belief in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and it went on to include several other things, including the affirmation, I believe in the communion of saints. By the word communion, they meant fellowship. By the word saint, they meant their fellow Christians. Now, it is greatly important to believe in our fellow Christians. It is necessary that a Christian become associated with that fellowship of people who are held together by the bonds of faith, by love, and a common affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of us need the support which comes from a loving, caring, and trusting fellowship. God has a blessing for each individual, but the fullest blessing comes when we're bound together as a family of his people, when we believe in each other, pray for each other, help each other, support each other, correct each other. Let us try an illustration or an analogy, which probably is inadequate. Bricks are made to lie side by side and on top of one another so that together they can build a wall or a house or whatever. One of the loneliest things in the world must be a brick. If a brick could talk, it would probably mumble, I am lonely, I am cold, I am useless, I was not made for this. Put me beside another brick, and another one, and another one, and bind me to them with the mortar of love so that I can amount to something. That's somewhat like it is with the Christian life. We are made to be bound together in love with others of like mind. For one thing, to believe in the communion of saints means that we love one another. When a friend left a church for a new assignment a while back, someone asked him, now that you're leaving, if you would have done one thing differently in your ministry here, what would it have been? His reply was brief, I would love people more. And that's what every church needs, a pastor to love the people more, and equally important, perhaps more important, a people to love the people more. And it shouldn't be too hard, perhaps. Perhaps it's a matter of straightening out our priorities. To love people takes time, it takes effort, it takes concern. It means acceptance, forgiveness, it means becoming aware of other people's needs, it means walking the second mile, turning the other cheek, reaching out a hand. It means an openness that can honestly say, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I love you. Everyone needs to be loved, and everyone needs to love. When we speak words of love, whenever we receive or hear words of love, it is logical to follow through with loving actions. That is the way of life Jesus came to teach. Once he said to his disciples, I give you a new commandment, that you have love one for another. Indeed, he felt that the most, or at least one of the most important aspects of their witness was to love one another. He said, other men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for another. Let us love each other. Let us come to love each other as brothers and sisters. In that way, there will be no strangers. No one will be estranged among us. Be no outsiders. There will not be any among us who ache inside for someone to care. No one will be forgotten. We who are members of the church, be truly God's children. And Jesus Christ will be known among us because we love each other, because we care for each other. Secondly, to believe in the communion of saints also means that we accept each other. I have discovered, as some of you have, that my life is less complicated and less anxious when I accept people for what they are. A good share of our uptightness comes when we try to force others to be something other than what they really are. Acceptance is not really all that difficult. It's forgetting that everyone has to be the same. So what if someone does brush his hair differently or wears it longer? So what if everyone does not agree with your political perspectives or the way the church should be operated or your Bible interpretation or whether we sing this or that hymn in our service? Not at all. It doesn't mean that we should reject one another. It means that we have something to offer each other in our differences. Can the ones in our church who say amen accept the ones who say amen? Can the ones who wear conservative clothes accept the ones who wear mod clothes? Can the ones who live in a town accept those who live in the country? Lonely people and those not so lonely need to feel that they're accepted. To call out certain people is to do to the community of God's people what taking a color or two out of the rainbow does to the rainbow. Now third, to believe in the communion of saints means that we forgive one another. They crucified the world's only perfect person. We have all done and said things which were wrong. We have hurt each other. We must learn to forgive one another. Our Lord forgave those who put him to death. He forgave those who spit in his face. He commended to God's forgiveness those who had broken the moral and spiritual laws. And we simply cannot have a church. We cannot have a meaningful communion of saints unless we forgive both our friends and our enemies. Then, the communion of saints means that we help each other. The strong are to help the weak, and the weak are to help the strong. There are, of course, no self-made people. And when I hear someone talking about being self-made, I don't think I've ever seen a self-made person that I don't think the Lord could have done a better job. Actually, every person is the product of a whole host of others whose influences and contributions have brought us to the place where we are. When a Reggie Jackson or a Dave Parker hits a home run with men on base, the runs are chalked up to the team. When Jabbar throws the basketball through the hoop, the points are rung up under the team's name. In the Christian church, some can operate the dishwasher, some can operate a typewriter, some can make a call, some can give time, some can give money, and some can keep from gossiping. Some can stop character assassination, some can teach, some can quit backbiting, some can pray. What one can do is done for all. And what everyone else can do is to be done for each other. There's a critical area of helping one another which we need to look deeply into and enter into the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the area of mutual correction and admonition. Sensitive as we are, we need the truth about ourselves, and sometimes, pretty often with some of us, the best thing that can happen for us is for someone to correct us in love and to save us from becoming mired in the errors and captive to our own sins and waywardness. I believe in the communion of saints. I hope you do too, for we cannot have a church of Jesus Christ until we do believe and practice a trusting fellowship among church members and friends, which the communion of saints means. It means that we love one another, that we accept each other, that we forgive each other, that we help each other. That is the kind of life described on nearly every page of the New Testament. It therefore ought to be the kind of life we pray for and try to maintain in the church today. On some of the perforated tickets which a person gets when he goes to certain events or rides certain means of conveyances, on one end is written the words, "Not good if detached." Those words ought to say something to each of us who claim allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church. They say something about our life together. We are the people of God. We are not good if detached from our fellow Christians, for then we cannot love or be loved. We cannot accept or be accepted. We cannot forgive or be forgiven. We cannot help or be helped until our detachment is replaced with attachment. God's purpose is oneness and unity and not separation. The glory of God will be spread from east and west, from north and south, when we remember that we are the body of Christ and each one is a member of that body. We cannot say to each other, "I have no need of you," nor can that other say to you, "I have no need of you." So, my friends, will you do something right now? Will you reach out your hand to your neighbor in the pew? I would prefer that you do so to someone who is not your spouse or not a member of your family, but someone who is near to you. Turn around if you need to. Take hold of that person's hand and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I accept and love you as a child of God." Do that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I accept you and love you as a child of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord our Father, thank you for calling us to be part of the body of Christ, the church. May we be mindful that we are not individual members, but we are corporate members, members who depend on one another, who love one another, who help each other, who forgive one another, who accept each other. May that come true in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.